Welcome everyone this evening to our third session on creationism, answers in Genesis. Bob Gillespie's here with us tonight again to speak. He'll be speaking from 5 to 6, then we'll take a little short break, and then from 6 to 7. And then tomorrow night would be his, unfortunately, his last night with us at 6:30. Well, we're going to give Bob as much time as we can tonight, so we're going to open in a word of prayer. And then he's going to come up and speak, and we're just going to go right into it. So let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can have together tonight, that we can just be amazed by your creation and be amazed by all that you have done, Father. It's just such a, it just brings such glory, Lord. And it just amazes us that you, the King of the universe, the God of the universe, loves us and cares about us. And wants us, Lord, to spend eternity with fellowship with you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And I pray, Father, that you bless the evening. Guide Bob as he speaks. Give him wisdom and insight. And help us, Lord, to learn and understand, be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, so that we can not only learn ourselves, but that we can carry this out and share with other people the miracle of what you do through creation here, how you teach us about yourself through this world. For we give you all the glory and honor and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Bob, won't you come up and speak? Thank you for being here.
Thank you. All right, good to see you this evening. How many people have been to the museum? Raise your hand. A lot of you. Now, when you go to the museum, you know what? First, when you go through the gate, what do you see? You see a dinosaur, right? Yeah. And before you even get into the building, what do you see? You see another dinosaur. And downstairs, there's a famous Allosaur exhibit. You know, dinosaurs keep popping up everywhere. But, of course, there's the real history of the universe you're going to see there. You get to see Adam and Eve. You get a chance to see how Noah built the ark. You know, but dinosaurs pop up everywhere you look at the Creation Museum. And here's one of the best pictures. It's the most photographed picture. You ready for it? Right here. Why do you think that's the most photographed picture? Anybody want to guess? Why is that? What do you think? Oh, humans with dinosaurs. Exactly right. So the reporters, they want to snap that one all the time. Because why? Yeah, dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago, long before people. So, you know, that can't be true. And but so why the answers in Genesis talk so much about dinosaurs? I mean, it's everywhere you look there. Well, here's one of the questions that we get an awful lot. Is how do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? Would you like to know how you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? I think that's why you're here, right? Well, why do we get that question? Well, kids love dinosaurs. I mean, there's books on dinosaurs and more books on dinosaurs and lots of books on dinosaurs. And there's movies about dinosaurs and lots of movies on dinosaurs and even more movies. And then there's cartoons, right? Dino Dan and Dino Train. Speaking of cartoons, this is where you get Homer sapiens from, by the way. But you see, this is what's part of our culture. You believe in dinosaurs, boys and girls? Well, you got to believe in cavemen, and you can't believe all that. You can't believe the Bible. I mean, science says. Have you heard that? Science says. Yeah. You realize science doesn't say anything? Yeah, scientists say things, and scientists have beliefs, right? But no, science doesn't say a thing. If science starts talking to you, you better run. Okay? No. But here's the way it's presented in our culture. You probably recognize this guy. Let's hear what he had to say.
From Tim Brizzaby from Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Mr. O'Reilly, I take exception that certain parts of the Bible are allegorical. What do you base your assertion on? On science, Tim. There are indisputable facts about how the earth developed.
Okay, in other words, science says that you just can't believe what the Bible says. Of course, like I say, and you would expect the atheist to have another idea of how we got here. That's their belief, right? They don't believe in God. Trouble is, you got all these Bible teachers that are going along with the atheist idea, and they got one voice. In other words, they're out there saying, science says you can't believe this word. Right? That's right. Exactly right. So maybe if you're going to talk about science, maybe we ought to talk about what science is. I talked about this in Sunday school, and I need to deal with it just a little bit before we jump right in to talk about dinosaurs, because dinosaurs, that's all about science, right? Well, what's the definition of science? Well, according to Webster's Dictionary, it says systematized knowledge derives from observation, in other words, studying what we can observe. That's a definition of science, right? Okay. Now you see, the trouble is when somebody, here's what happens. Like I said this morning, somebody says, well, science says. And then what we say is, oh no, the Bible says, and science says, the Bible says. You get very far with that? No, that doesn't go very far, right? It's just a big argument. Right? But you have to realize a better approach when somebody says these things like they know everything is to ask good questions and learn some good questions to ask. And a good question to ask is, well, what kind of science are you talking about? Because they don't know that there's two types of sciences. Right? There's observational science, the neat stuff where you get computers and rockets, right? And cures for diseases. See, this is what we can see, we can observe, we can test, we can demonstrate, and things like that. And now that's what observational science is all about. And it gives us wonderful things. I mean, we Christians, we're not against science at all. We love science. It gives us computers, all of it, okay? Yes. But the trouble is, there is another type of science, which is where people say that they hypothesize, they believe, this is what we think happened in the past, right? The trouble is, what they do is they take what they believe about the past and they say, boys and girls, that's science. That's real. It's facts, right? Is what people believe happened is a fact? Well, we know gravity is a fact, right? We know when you put chemicals together and they react, we know that's a fact. We can observe it, right? But dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago. Do we know that's a fact? No, it's a belief of what people thought. So two types of science. We have to understand that. So this is the way it's presented. You have over here the science of Big Bang and rock layers and life forming. Over here, this is belief, right? What God said. That's a nice belief. 6 days in Adam and Eve and so on. See, over that, that's the facts of science, right? These are just faith. You can believe it in your heart if you want to, right? But like O'Reilly says, there's irrefutable facts. Why you can't believe that? Folks, we have to understand that we do have science. We have observational science. Science that we can observe, we can demonstrate, we can see. It gives us cures for diseases. I mean, I love science. And then there are two beliefs about the past. Do we have a belief about the past? Do we? Yep. We certainly do. I hope you're not embarrassed about that belief about the past. Why? Well, I tell you what, we've got an eyewitness who was there that told us. You can't get any better than that, right? I tell you, and I hope you know that eyewitness personally, and I hope you know that when he gave it to us in writing that we can trust every word, right? Because he's trustworthy. And then there's another belief about the past, of what people think happened, how everything happened naturally. There's two beliefs about the past, but you know what? The evolutionists, they cheat. They call their belief science, and they point the finger at Christians and say, you don't believe in science. Boys and girls, are you going to let them get away with that anymore? No. Moms and dads, are you going to teach your kids how to deal with that? Right? Okay, like I said this morning. Now, put up on the wall Sunday school. All right? Picture of observational science, picture of historical science. The kids come in after all week of fifth grade science and say, boys and girls, what did you learn in science? And one boy says, we learned that you put, what's the two chemicals like? Baking soda and vinegar together. It'll fizz. We learned that. Okay. Is that observational or is it historical? Well, he saw it, so it's observational. Another boy says, we learned that millions of years ago there was dinosaurs and things like that. Is that what we can observe or is that a belief about the past? They grind it in week after week after week to help them understand that the evolutionists have a belief of what they think happened, right? And they like to call it science, all right? But you know what? Dinosaurs are probably used more than anything else to prove to elementary kids that you can't believe the Bible, right? So now I hope you begin to understand why Answers in Genesis is so big on dinosaurs. Because, like I said, here's the question we get. How do you fit dinosaurs into the Bible? I've got bad news for you. We don't fit dinosaurs into the Bible. I guess you can all go home. Now, here's what happens all the time. People say, this is what I think about dinosaurs. This is what I think happened in the past. All right, let's see if that fits with the Bible. Nope, doesn't fit with what the Bible says. Well, guess the Bible's wrong. Isn't that what people do? Well, maybe if the Word of God is directly from our Creator and we can trust every word, maybe we ought to start with the Bible to answer questions about dinosaurs. What do you think about that? Yeah, that's a different approach, because instead of this idea where they take man's ideas and put it in the Bible, now it just blows holes full of the Bible, right? But no, we're going to start with the Word of God to answer questions about dinosaurs. What a novel idea, huh? Okay, well, let's find out how much you know about dinosaurs. Boys and girls, if you know the name of this dinosaur, just call it right out. Are you ready? All right, here's the first one. What's that? Oh, a T-Rex. Very, very good. What's that one? Okay, Triceratops. Three horns, Triceratops. Very, very good. Okay, what's this one? Is that... Oh, it's a Komodo dragon, right. Is it a dinosaur? No. Say a little anatomy lesson. Dinosaurs had their legs hinged underneath their bodies like this. Modern day reptiles have their legs out like this, okay? So it wasn't a dinosaur. How about this one? What's that? Long neck, that's one. Anybody else got? What? Oh, I'll say it again. A brachiosaur, right. You know, I get people telling me that, no, that's a brontosaurus. That's because they watch too much Fred Flintstones. No, it's really a brachiosaur because they found the right head for it. But how about this? What is it? It's a very polite one. Plesiosaur. It really is not a dinosaur. You know why? Because dinosaurs were land animals. So it would be called a prehistoric aquatic reptile. Okay, not a dinosaur. Do you realize there's no such thing as prehistoric? You believe that? Yeah. Is there anything before in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? Nothing prehistoric. Very good. Okay, how about this? Is that a reptile? Is that a dinosaur? Okay. Yeah, it's a pteranodon related to pterodactyls, all that there. Not a dinosaur. A prehistoric flying reptile. All right, one last one, or a couple of them here. We got, what's this? A stegosaurus. Okay, very, 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 very good. Okay, where did you learn the names of those dinosaurs? Boys and girls right here, where did you learn the names of those dinosaurs? Did you learn them in Sunday school? You didn't learn the names of dinosaurs in Sunday school? No, where did you learn them? Oh, yeah, Dino Train, Dino Dan, movies, books, everywhere. Moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, listen to me. Okay, while the young people are learning the names of dinosaurs, they're also learning an entire worldview. What's a worldview? Who am I? Where did I come from? How do I find truth? Can I trust the Bible? Where do I go when I die? It's all wrapped up in dinosaurs lived millions of years ago, then they evolved and so on, right? They're learning an entire worldview. So maybe we ought to talk about dinosaurs and give them the proper worldview right in Sunday school, because if they don't get it, where are they going to get it? Right? They're going to get the wrong thing. All right. So we're going to start with the Word of God as if it is the real history of the universe. And the way we talk about it is with the seven seas. You need to know these. Okay, I talked about them twice this morning. But if you don't know them, let's go through it very quickly. It starts with C for creation. God made a perfect earth. It was a reflection of His character, so there was no death, no suffering, perfect fellowship. But what happened? We don't live in a perfect earth, do we? No, we don't. We have to deal with death and suffering. Why? Well, because of the corruption when Adam and Eve sinned. God cursed the earth and it changed everything. And sin got so bad that God destroyed the world in a global catastrophe, a global flood. After that, we have people didn't obey God. They didn't migrate all over. They stayed in one place. They built a tower in rebellion against God, and God confused the languages of family groups, causing these different people groups to migrate all over the earth. And eventually, God Himself, the Creator, Jesus Christ, stepped into earth, took on human flesh, and dwelt with us, and then suffered and died for us physically on the cross, and rose again. And when He comes back, He's going to restore us back to much like it was back at the beginning. We call that the consummation. What was it like at the beginning? No death, no suffering, perfect fellowship with God. You're looking forward to that in the future? Now, there you got the big picture of history. So God made everything in six normal days, right? And on the sixth day, God made His image bearers, right? And is that what He looked like? That's what people are going to tell you. Of course, that was quite a shock when the ape-like creatures learned about that. But you see, now Adam and Eve were totally different than the animal kingdom. You see, it was totally, they're created in God's image, very, very different. But let's go with this. Does the Bible tell us, though, when did God make T-Rex? We're going to use the Bible to try to figure out about dinosaurs. Does it say when He made T-Rex? Well, let's think this through. All right. What did He make on day six? The land animals and man, right? Was T-Rex a land animal? All right. So when did He make T-Rex? Right out of the Bible. Exactly right. Well, we know there were dinosaurs in the garden because this is a picture that Eve took while they were in the garden. All right, we don't know that. But maybe there were dinosaurs. We don't know. It'd be fun to ride on them. But this is what I get all the time. People will tell me, well, you know, Adam and Eve would have been afraid of dinosaurs. They got big, sharp teeth. And he says, yep, they got big, sharp teeth. All right. Well, what do you think T-Rex will be thinking about? God first created everything. What's he thinking about when he was reading the menu? What do you think? You think he was thinking this? That's what dinosaurs eat, right? T-Rex, exactly right. Well, we got to look to Genesis to tell us what T-Rex was thinking about when he read the menu. Is it there in Genesis? Let's go ahead and see what God said. God said it when He created, right at the beginning, every beast, that's T-Rex, every bird, everything that creeps on the earth, that's everything, right? What did they eat? They all ate green herbs. All right, so now we know what he was thinking about when he read the menu. We got it right from the Word of God, right from our Creator, the eyewitness who was there. This is what the animals ate. All right. But people tell me, well, it's obvious T-Rex was a meat eater because he's got big, sharp teeth. All right, have you ever heard that before? Sure, get it all the time. But just because an animal has big, sharp teeth, it doesn't necessarily mean he has to eat meat. I mean, what do you think this animal eats? I think he eats anything he wants to. Right? But you know what it is? He's a panda bear. What do panda bears eat? Bamboo. No, I don't know. But I think that if you're going to chew on trees, then maybe you ought to have huge teeth that are just designed for chewing on trees. Maybe God made it and designed it the way it ought to be. How about this ferocious-looking animal? What do you think he eats? I mean, he looks like he could just rip the flesh off your body. That looks pretty scary, doesn't he? I've seen these in Africa, right? And they're big and they have wings and they swoop down at you. You know what it is? It's a fruit bat. So what do fruit bats eat? You guys are smart. Yeah, you see, they certainly are big. They certainly are ugly, right? Yes. Okay. But you see, maybe they're designed just the way they're supposed to be. Now, not to eat meat, but to eat fruit. How about this guy? You realize that bears get along just fine on a vegetarian diet? They have teeth, right? Well, yeah, now, since the curse, now bears are what we call omnivores. They'll eat anything, right? All right. But we don't live in a world where bears don't eat meat, they just eat vegetables, right? So what happened? Well, what happened was the corruption. When Adam and Eve wanted to go their own way, they would have rebelled against God, and from that point on, Adam had to work hard to get food. So now what's T-Rex thinking about after the curse? Yeah, see, sin changed everything. The animals started to eat each other and survival of the fittest. And worst of all, we're separated from our Creator. And that's why God killed the very first animal. And we don't know whether it was a lamb or not, but we like to think it was because it was a picture. It was an object lesson of the Lamb of God that would come in the future and be the sacrifice once and for all to shed His blood so we wouldn't have to stay in the sin-cursed earth. Well, Adam and Eve had lots of kids, right? We just happen to have a photo of a family reunion photo here. But it, like I said, it wasn't all fun and games because the first son of Adam was the first murderer. And then what had got so bad that eventually God said to Noah, "The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." And then he said to Noah, "I'd like to build a little boat and put a few animals on it." Is that what Noah's ark looked like? No. Oh, we see that all the time. I go into churches, I see it on nursery walls, right? And kids grow up and say, "That's that nice fairy tale." But by the time they go off to college, they're just chucking the fairy tale, right? Yeah, maybe we ought to give them what the real boat looked like, because you see, that little fairy tale thing could not survive a global flood, but one that was designed like a modern-day barge would survive a global flood. All right, and but how do you get millions of animals on a boat, especially if there's woodpeckers? That would be tough, right? Well, first of all, we have to understand this thing was humongous, 1.5 football fields long, and it was 3 stories tall, but still it's impossible to get millions of species of animals on a boat, right? Isn't that what somebody says? When somebody says, "That's a fairy tale, you can't get millions of species on a boat," what do you say? You're exactly right. Because did God have to put millions of species of animals on a boat? Well, you see, today we use this: kingdom, phylum, class, order, family, genus, species. And species are so specialized. I mean, there are millions of them. Different species all over the world. And what? When God created, what did He create them? According to species or according to what? Ah, yes. He created them after their kind, with the idea that, well, they were supposed to reproduce after their kind. And when they went on the ark, they went on what? 2 from each kind. Exactly right. Now, 7 of some, right? The clean animals, 7 of the birds, and so on. If we could figure out what a created kind was, maybe that ought to give us a clue about how many animals were on the boat, right? Okay. So what I want you to do is help me with this. When you see the picture, just call right out what they are. Are you ready? Here we go. What are those? All right, one person can read. All right, let's try it again. All right, what are those? Dogs. How about those? Dogs, yes. How about those? Dogs. How about those? Actually, we don't think those are dogs. We think it's kind of like a mutant species of dogs or something. No, but the question we have to ask, did God have to bring 2 Noah, 2 from all those different varieties, 2 by 2 to go on the ark? What do you think? No, 2 from the what kind? Dog kind. Exactly right. See, even the evolutionists, they understand that all of our dogs, they go back, modern day dogs, they go back to a wolf type. All right? All of our cats, doesn't make a difference if they're really big or really small, they go back to a cat type, a cat kind, right? So the area of the created kind really fits in our taxonomy right around the area of the family. So today we've got all different types of dogs, right? They all go back to a dog type or a dog kind. So yeah, if this is the case, if God did create according to kind, then they did go on the ark, 2 of the dog kind, with a lot of genetic diversity in those 2 that were on there. In other words, the genetics for long hair and short hair, and long tails and short tails, and tall and small, and all these varieties. Then they get off the ark, and then they have all kinds of puppies with all different varieties, and the different varieties go to different parts of the earth, taking their different varieties with them. Guess what? What would you expect to see today? All different varieties of dogs, but they're still what? They're still dogs. Right? See, when dogs reproduce, they always reproduce what? Go figure, right? Yes, just like we would expect, right? And when cats reproduce, they're always cats, right? Always horses. See, this is why we have a zonkey at the museum. Yeah. It's a halfway between a donkey and a zebra. Because, you see, God did not need to bring to Noah zebras and donkeys and mules and thoroughbred horses and all the, I don't know, what kind of, you guys are good at horses here in Kentucky. But in Alabama, right? I see all kinds of dogs, horses all over the place here. Okay, but why do we have this? You see, we want people to understand that there was a representative, two of a representative kind of horse with a lot of different varieties, right? And they get off the ark, and then they have lots of different horses, and then they spread out all over, and they diversify into the different species that we have today. Well, so how many animals would be on the ark? Two from each kind, at least seven of a few. Some, it could have been seven pairs, by the way, okay? And so that increases the number a little bit, okay? Not just seven, but seven pairs. So just think about that. But when you understand that camels, llamas, alpacas are all from the same kind, and they are separated today by continents, all right? This is narrowing it down a little bit. So what we have found from our study for the ark is that there was no need to have any more. The maximum number of individual kinds would be on the ark would be 1,500 individual kinds. Right? Probably closer maybe to 1,000, but we're just saying, let's just expand it out, 1,500 different kinds. Maybe we missed some, we just don't know some that died off in the fossil record or something like that, just the biggest number we can think of. So that would be about 3,000 animals, right? 3,000 animals? Okay. All right. Well, you know what? There was also the seven pairs of the clean ones, and the birds, right? So what we're thinking, a maximum, no more than 6,000 animals, probably a lot less than that. But was that boat big enough to have 6,000 animals on it? It certainly was, including dinosaurs. What do you think? Well, people say, well, there's 1,000 species of dinosaurs. Well, at the max, maybe 80 different kinds of dinosaurs. But I know what you're thinking. How do you get dinosaurs on an ark? Right? Pretty big, right? Well, you know what? Some of them did grow to be very, 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 very large. Many of them were quite small. The average size dinosaur that we know today really wasn't much bigger than a modern-day buffalo. Okay? But would God have put the biggest ones on there? Even the biggest ones have to start out quite small, right? The biggest that the egg could get didn't make any difference how big they were. It was no bigger than this. Right? Why is that? Anybody know a little bit about if the egg gets too big, reptile eggs, they have to breathe. And if it's too big, the skin is too thick, and then the little guy can't breathe on the inside. So you can't get any bigger. A lot of the eggs were much smaller, right? So even the biggest ones, they had to start out quite small. So God would not have put great, 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 great grandma and grandpa that grew to be three stories tall. Why not just young juveniles before they really start to get to their growth spurt about 5 years, right? So, yes, the biggest ones may not have been any bigger than an elephant when they went on the ark. But if you believe Jurassic Park and all these movies, there, all the dinosaurs were huge ones. You can't, it's a fair, no, yeah. Look at it through God's Word and understand, yeah, there were reptile creatures on the ark that now people call dinosaurs, right? But they didn't call them that back then. Yeah, and you can begin to understand there's no problem with that. So what happened to the animals that were not on the boat? They died. Exactly right. Yeah, they became fossils. Right. Now, how do you get fossils? Here's what one little boy told me. He said, my teacher said that when fish die, they gradually sink to the bottom and gradually get buried, and then they turn into fossils. Well, I said, let's do some observational science. What I want you to do is get your dad to buy you a goldfish. All right? And this is right up here in the front row. He was telling, my teacher said this, so I got this. And I said, buy a goldfish, and when the goldfish dies, because they always die, don't they? All right, you tell me whether the goldfish sinks or floats. Right? Because you see, what happens with most fish is when they die, they fill up with gas and they belly up and they float, and other fish come and eat them. And then what happens? All the bones and stuff go down to the bottom. The crabs get it. Do you realize that fossils aren't being made today? You do not find fossils at the bottom of the ocean. All right? You have to have the right circumstances in order to have a fossil. So here he is. He's just minding his own business. Right? And what happened? You have to have a catastrophe where this guy is buried very, very quickly, right? So the other fish and crabs can't get to and things like that and spread it all out. And so and there's very little oxygen, so he doesn't rot, right? And also to make a fossil, you have to have a lot of highly mineralized water that leaches into the bones and turns it into rock, right? And then he turns into... What situation in history do you think would cause all these fossils all over the world? Maybe a worldwide what? A worldwide flood, exactly right. Yeah. See, what we can see in the fossil record, they didn't just keel over and die, right? Here's ichthyosaur that was buried very quickly right in the middle of giving birth. Now, that's quick. Another one right there buried very quickly right in the middle of eating its lunch. Okay? Yeah, see, this is what the evolutionists will tell you. This is real science, boys and girls. You have at the bottom of the rock layers the very primitive trilobites and things like that. As you get farther and farther, you get to the age of dinosaurs, then eventually you get to mammals and then people. But what do we actually see in the fossil record? What we see is mammal bones, dinosaur bones, sea creatures, fish, all buried together, all mangled up together like that with some kind of flood. They can't figure that one out. Did you know that there was mammal bones and dinosaurs together? You're not going to learn this in school, right? Yeah, because now see, curators of museums are starting to come clean on this. You got to hunt for these things. But here's one that says we find mammals in almost all of our dinosaur dig sites. These were not noticed years ago. Sure, they weren't, right? Yeah. In other words, what do we actually see? We don't see that, right? We see it all mixed together. Okay, just like we'd expect if there was a global flood, right? Well, then what you're told, boys and girls, is the dinosaurs turned into birds. Anybody heard that one? They're making all kinds of books with dinosaurs with feathers on them just to get kids to think that they turned into birds, like it was fact. Well, this is their story. If, you know, ape-like creatures can turn into people, they're thinking, well, maybe dinosaurs can turn into birds. I mean, that's their story. They're sticking to it. But what would the first flight look like? I don't think there's a lot of evolutionary progress in that one. But let's just take a look at what we actually see right there in rock layers that are supposed to be older than the dinosaurs. We find what? We find fully formed feathers. And another one. You know what? Dinosaurs did not turn into birds. Here's a dinosaur that ate birds. So, boys and girls, unless you are what you eat, they didn't turn into birds, right? Yeah, they ate them, all right? So if there really was a global flood all over the earth, what would you expect to see? You know what I'd expect to see? I'd expect to see billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And when we go out there and look in the rock layers, what do we see? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Would you like to learn to say that? I'm going to teach it to you because we're going to sing a song with Buddy Davis. I want you to sing it in the books, okay? I don't want to see anybody like this. Sing it, all right?
The Bible talks about a worldwide flood, of a worldwide flood, of a worldwide flood. If there really was a worldwide flood, what would the evidence be? Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. Well, the real was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony purse with the billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth.
You heard it once. Sing next time, okay?
The Bible talks about Noah and the ark and a worldwide flood where the world was. If there really was a worldwide flood, what would the evidence be?
Here we are.
Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down the water all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down the water all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony curse. With billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down the water.
All right, I'm going to hear that.
dead things buried in rock. There's waste of water all over the earth.
Again.
Billions of dead things buried in rock. There's waste of water all over the earth. Where there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony curse. With billions of dead things buried in rock. There's waste of water all over the earth.
We have one more chance.
Here we go.
Billions of dead things buried in rock. There's waste of water all over the earth. Billions of dead things buried in rock. There's waste of water all over the earth. Well, there really was a worldwide flood. Just look at the stony curse. With billions of dead things buried in rock. There's waste of water all over the earth.
All right. You'll be singing that in your sleep, I'll bet you. I think you got it now. Yeah. That song and some others is in this video, Dinosaurs, Genesis, and the Gospel. Buddy Davis sings about four of his songs. Ken Ham talks about dinosaurs. It's a fun one, but it's designed to help people and teach real science right in Sunday school. Okay, because if the Word of God is true, right, what would we expect to see when we go out and look at what we can observe today? Right? If there was a flood, what would we expect to see? We'd expect to see billions of dead things buried in rock layers laid down by water all over the earth. And when we go out there and look, what do we actually find? See? What we find confirms what God's Word says. That's just one illustration. I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow, how science really confirms the Bible. Okay? All right, moving along. After the flood, the animals began to migrate all over the church. All over the church? All over the world. I don't know. I think they probably sold T-shirts. I survived the flood. I think so. But now, if this were the case, then people did see dinosaurs, right? And if people did see dinosaurs, then what did they do? Well, you'd expect that they would tell stories about them, right? Draw pictures of them, make carvings of them, brag about killing them. Right? Yeah. Put their heads on their living room walls. I mean, you'd expect that they would do that, but you'd expect maybe that the Bible would talk about dinosaurs. Is the word dinosaur in the Bible? No, I don't see it in there. Why? Well, everybody knows the dinosaurs lived 65 million years ago, right? Is that the reason why they're... No. See, the King James was written in 1611. The word dinosaur didn't come up till over 200 years later, so we really wouldn't expect to see the word dinosaur in the Bible. But you know what? There's a lot of places in Scripture where we believe God is describing what we would call dinosaurs. Like He said to Job in Job 40, God says, "Look at Behemoth, which I made along with you. He eats grass like an ox. He's got a tail like a cedar. And he's chief in the ways of God. He's the biggest animal that there is." Now, a lot of commentaries will tell you this has to be an elephant or a hippo. All right? It could be. Let's see if it fits the description. All right? Elephants and hippos, do they eat grass like an ox? Are they herbivores? Yes, they are. Okay, that fits. All right. They happen to be the biggest land animal. Are they? Chief in the ways of God. That fits. All right. How about that has a tail like a cedar tree? I'm not sure about that. You see, when I was in Africa, I took my students out to Outdoor Ed to look at elephants. Does that look like a tail like a cedar tree to you, boys and girls? I don't think so. Well, maybe a hippo. Yeah, on the Niger River, you can go out there and see these guys. You don't want to get real close to them. But does that look like a tail like a cedar? I don't think they got it right. Now, there's a tail like a cedar. Does that fit an elephant? How about a hippo? No, here's what we think it fits. Yeah, behold Behemoth, which I made right along with you. Yeah, maybe that's exactly what God was describing to Job. What he already saw, he already knew that lived there. One of a large group of animals, dinosaurs called sauropods. But if that's the case, then people did see them. And what did they call them before the word dinosaur came up? They called them dragons. Does the Bible talk about dragons? Yes, it talks about dragons. Oh, you believe in those mythical, fire-breathing, you know, flying, mythical creatures? Yeah, dragons. Well, let's see. Let's see what he says here. Yeah, you really believe in dinosaurs and dragons? All right. Well, what does the world say about dragons?
There is one creature remembered in the legends of almost every human culture that's ever existed. A creature depicted with remarkable similarity by the Chinese, the Aztecs, even the Inuit, who live in a frozen land where no reptiles are found. Even they have stories of this animal, the dragon. Cultures from different continents, people who had no contact with one another, yet all of them have stories describing the same mythical animal. Could it be these stories were more than myth? What if we discovered that this creature that haunts our imagination had once been real?
How about that? Well, I'll tell you what, when did people start believing that dragons were mythical? Well, what we want to do is go back to 1910 in the British Encyclopedia Britannica and see what they said about dragons. All right, said, nor were these dragons anything but real terrors, even in the imagination of the learned, until contemporary modern times. As the waste places were cleared, indeed they withdrew farther from the haunts of men. And in Europe, there, and when I'm talking about there, what are we talking about? Dragons? Yeah, right. And it said, in Europe, their last lurking places were the inaccessible heights of the Alps, and eventually they were relegated to the realm of myth. In other words, people knew that they were real, right? They escaped people, went way, and eventually, well, they're just mythical, because what happened? Probably they went extinct, right? If that's the case, then what you'd expect is that people would draw pictures and make carvings of what they actually saw. They tell stories of killing them, like the most famous story is St. George and the Dragon, right? Where St. George rode into a village being terrorized by a large reptile creature. He killed it, and now St. George is immortalized on cathedral walls around the world. All right, many accounts in Europe of people encountering large reptile creatures and killing them. Of course, China, big on dragons, right? Even Marco Polo described them and talked about how big their eyes were and how they, well, even that they raised dragons in order to pull the chariots in their royal parades. I don't know about you, but I think you'd have to have a pretty good-sized lizard to pull a chariot, right? Yeah, but that's what Marco Polo talked about. So dragons that people saw, really what they were real large reptile creatures that eventually went extinct, okay? And then as they went extinct, they became like equated with myth, and then people would take different features from different ones, wings here and different things, you know, big teeth here, put them together into this fanciful mythical dragon that we talk about today, but they go back to real events. The Bible describes Leviathan. Maybe he was talking about these type of sea-type creatures. The Bible also talks about flying serpents. You want to see here's an eyewitness account of a flying serpent. This happens to be in Utah, in Black Dragon Canyon. And you can see it's got leathery-type wings and a crest on its head. And it's got the web-type feet, just like you'd expect if somebody saw one of those large creatures. It's not a feathery bird, right? Eyewitness account. What about other places? Maybe there would be some carvings of real dinosaurs. Yes, there are. Also in Utah, there they are. Other places all over the world, there are pictures that people saw them. Here's my favorite one. It's in a 12th century temple in Cambodia. Not that long ago, right? But right along on this relief, there's a deer up here, a monkey down here. But what's he pointing at? What does it look like to you? Any kind of animal that you know about today in a zoo? Or maybe in a museum, right? In other words, people saw them. They may have been rare. They probably died out, but people drew pictures of them. In Mexico, there are clay figures, just what you'd expect, because this is before dinosaur bones were discovered and put them in museums, right? These are clay figures, just what we'd expect if people actually saw them. Well, what about some real tangible evidence that they didn't die off millions of years ago? Well, you know what? They found a T-Rex bone so big that they had to cut that thing in half in order to get it to the lab. And when they looked inside, they found soft tissue. Let's listen to this.
Bruce, you are not going to believe this. But when she picked up a small piece to stop the reaction by putting it in water, it stretched and it sprained and it moved all over the place. So we knew we had something pretty unusual.
It appears to be soft tissue. When they look at neighboring parts of the bone, they're even more surprised.
Out popped the blood vessels, and they were pretty incredible. And I said, I don't believe it, that's not possible, we need to do it again, and again. It's one of those just goosebump-inducing scientific moments, that's all I can say. And they don't really happen very often.
Blood vessels should not exist in fossilized bone. Many scientists believe organic molecules can't last more than 100,000 years. Yet Schweitzer's bone is 68 million years old.
Maybe he's just not that old after all. And that's not the only one. They have found 14 different other types of soft tissues in dinosaur bones that can't last any more than thousands of years, much less millions of years. Maybe somebody ought to start talking about this, right? Because no, the dinosaurs didn't die off millions of years ago, right? They got on the ark, they got off the ark, they eventually died off. It wasn't that long ago. So if that's the case, then why don't we see dino crossing signs today? Right? Well, people wonder where the dinosaurs went. It's a big mystery, isn't it? Well, there's one story going around, but I'm not sure this one's true. But that's what people think. But you see, the evolutionists don't have a clue what happened to dinosaurs. Some say they got indigestion. Well, they ate too much. They took one of those fad diets on TV. You've got to watch that one. Or maybe an asteroid. I know, they turned into birds. But the evolutionists, they do not have a clue what happened to the dinosaurs. But you know what? It's not a mystery to me at all. I know what happened to the dinosaurs. Are you ready for this? They died. Don't animals go extinct all the time? Yes, we have endangered species because animals go extinct. Maybe if we had an endangered dinosaur species back a while ago, we might still have some today. You see, the dodo bird went extinct, woolly mammoth, and the Tasmanian tiger went extinct, the coelacanth went extinct, a fish that lived 65 million years ago along with the dinosaurs, and then they found one. Oh my goodness, it's amazing. How could it live for 65 million years? It must be very rare. No, they're not very rare at all. You see, folks, just because animals are thought to be extinct, it doesn't necessarily mean that they are. So I hope you begin to understand now why Answers in Genesis is really, really big on dinosaurs. Does anybody have any questions? Well, there's a lot of questions that people have. This is why we bring books to help people understand the answers, because the world is filled with questions. Well, you can't believe the Bible because this and this and this and this and this, and you can't even get to the place where you say, let me tell you about Jesus Christ, because, well, the Bible can't be true, it's a bunch of myths because of this, this, and this. Well, yep. This is why we have these called answer books. And moms and dads, grandmas and grandpas, we need to have them, because young people come with questions, and we better know how to answer the questions. We have answer books for teens that deal with many of the issues that teens are working with. And answer books for little kids, because have you noticed little kids ask the toughest questions? These are literal questions that young people have asked. We have the Answers magazine. We've got curriculum for elementary kids that will answer questions about radiometric dating and dinosaurs and where do we get the Bible. Do we need to give that to elementary kids? We better. Okay, because they're getting the wrong answers out there. They're getting the false history. But you need to give them the real thing. And we have this timeline from Adam to Barack Obama. Why is that? Because, you see, the Bible is taught like it's nice moral stories. And from my experience, young people have no clue how to put the accounts in Scripture right along with regular history that they learn in school. All right? Are the accounts in Scripture real history? Yes. See, our gospel is rooted in real history. It's not just spiritual ideas like, you know, mysticism. And yeah, Our gospel's rooted in real history. That's why this is so important to have put up on the wall and understand these things. We have here dinosaurs, a book on dinosaurs, Creation Basics. That's a great one for maybe junior high, high school, because it's just what it says, basics. It's filled with all kinds of answers, like what about plate tectonics? What about the earth science and life science? All these questions, and it gives the basics on there. So I think you're going to put one in the library. Of course, we have this one. How about Dragons, Legend and Lore of Dinosaurs? That's a fun one to have. Get that and put that on your coffee table when your friends come over. Wouldn't that be an interesting topic to start on? Yes. So, yes. But, you know, for too long, dinosaurs have been used to prove to kids you can't believe the Bible, and we're fed up with it. We've had it up to here. We're taking dinosaurs back. We're turning them into missionary lizards. Why? Missionary? Yes, they can be missionary. They can be used to help kids understand the gospel. In other words, no, they didn't live millions of years ago, then die off, and then eventually people evolved. In other words, they were made on day six, right? You can trust God's Word. You can trust all of God's Word. And if you can trust God's Word, boys and girls, you can give your entire life to Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Thank you so much. We're going to take a break and be back in about 10 minutes. Thank you.